This morning, I'd like to talk to you about growing in intimacy. We as human beings, as mankind, as people, we long to have relationships. We long to have friendship. We like to have people we can talk to, we can identify, we can, you know, do life, you know, just being able to help one another and to be part of each other's life. Is that right? Does that sound like all of us here in this place? Yeah? Some of us, maybe some of us not. But the reality is that God built us with a desire to have relationship. And so I want to talk to you about growing into this relationship. A few weeks back, we talked about the goal of having the intimacy with God. That's our goal. And the only way we can rightly approach this goal is if our hearts are set right before God. If you remember that a couple of weeks. If you haven't, I do encourage you to go on the website and listen to the message. But everybody longs for relationships. But the first and greatest relationship that anyone can ever have is a relationship with the God of the universe. Amen? Can I get an amen? The God who created all things. The God who made you and I. The God who made the whole earth. And the God who gives us all things. Amen. And He delights and He desires to have a relationship with you and me. And so right now, in this hour, in this moment, God is moving and is moving by His Spirit. He is pouring out His Spirit. Every single person here, it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter where you're at, it doesn't matter what I've done or what we've done, but the God of the whole universe is longing to reach out to us and to have a relationship with every single one of us. And that is a powerful thought. When we did not seek God, yet God is seeking after us. And so there's a great move of the Spirit right now that is drawing everybody to turn to the living God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says this, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." I want to read the title again, and it really says this, "Growing in intimacy, to abide in the Word is to abide in His love." Okay, so title and a subtitle here, right? So in this title here, you should kind of get the answer already of what we're about to talk about, okay? So, but I know for sure that God is moving by His Spirit and He's drawing all man to Himself. Luke chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. I'm just going to read the key verse there. It says, this is speaking of John the Baptist, a man that God raised, and he said, this is what he's going to do. "He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Do you know that God is working in our hearts right now to turn us to Himself, that with a pure and a genuine heart, we will seek after Him? Can I get an amen? So the past few weeks, I've been sharing on the note of when many hearts turn to the Lord God. How do we know that we will be prepared for God when many hearts turn to the Lord God? Let's ask ourselves the question, is my heart turning to the Lord God? And no matter how many relationships we have on earth, the greatest relationship we can have is with the living God. Because Jesus is the Lord. He is God who came down on the earth to take away the penalty and the sins of my sins, of your sins, to die on that cross. Because we deserve that death. He took our place, died for our place, but He didn't remain there. He rose from the dead. And now today He's seated on the right hand of God. And He's longing for us to put our trust in Him, to believe in Him so that we could have eternal life. As we turn away from our sins, and put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the fact that most of us are here today is that the fact that we have received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Now, just a quick review here, not very detailed, but a review there. I've got 3 points that we talked about in the past. The first one is preparation for the increase. We have been saying that God is pouring out an increase at this time. I want to receive an increase. How many of you? We talked about that preparation to meet Him. We talk about the purpose of the person. That means the main goal of my life is to encounter the very person of God. Then we talked about the goal of intimacy. My goal, my desire is to run after God, to have an intimacy with Him. And it is impossible to do that unless my heart is sincerely going after God. The Bible says that with our lips we may be praising God, but our hearts are far, far away from Him. So the issue was, and we talked about this, and this is just a review, is that the issue begins with the heart. Now, today we're talking about growing in intimacy, and I believe that all of us are to continuously grow in that. I want to continuously press in that as I press into it. But let me ask a few questions before we continue. And there's about 7 or 8 of them. Number one, do we all want to be disciples of Jesus? I'm asking you a question here. You can answer. Some of you. All right, I'll ask it again. And you're allowed to talk, okay? Do you want to be disciples of Jesus? Would you like to bear fruit and bear much fruit, which means you want to be fruitful in your life? Do you want to pray and God answers our prayer? I'd like that too. Do we want to be free and delivered? Do you and I want to have fellowship with God? Do we want to walk in truth and obedience? Who would like to be successful? Would like to be prosperous? I'd like all of that. Okay? Now, prosperous, I don't necessarily just mean money, but in spirit, soul, and body. I don't mind the money too if it comes, right? Okay, just kidding. All right. But all of us would like that. I'd like that. It's good. You know, and these are not bad things. These are good things. And these are all from scriptures. As you can see, I've got the verses there that actually goes along with it. So these are actually coming from scripture. God wants us to be prosperous. And God wants us to be successful. God wants us to be fruitful. But the thing is, what we do need to talk about is, how do we get it? And the key this morning is to abide in Him. To abide in Him means to abide in Jesus. To abide in Jesus means to abide in His Word. Now, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to qualify what it means to also say what we mean by abiding in His Word. First of all, I'd like to define what does abide mean, okay? And this is just taken straight from the Strong's Concordance, and it simply means to stay. The word abide simply means to stay. In various ways in which this word is used and translated, used in the Bible in the New Testament, are these words as follow. Are you ready? It says, abide means to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, and tarry. So with these words, it just gives us an idea how this word in Scripture is used. So it gives us an idea when we say, I abide in His Word, what does it mean by I abide in His Word? So far, are you with me? So I want to grow in intimacy. Everybody say, I want to grow in intimacy. But I must abide in Him first. I must abide in His Word. Amen? Now, how many of you know that Jesus is the Word? All right? You know that, right? I think you know that. Jesus is not words written on a book. This is not Jesus. That means I'm not looking at Jesus in that way, in that physical sense, right? That's not what we mean. But we know that the Scripture, the Bible, speaks of Jesus. Jesus is the living Word. He is living. He's a real person. He's God, okay? But this Bible here, I can get the living Word. God can speak to me through His Word, and that's the Word that we are to abide in. So far, so good? Because the Bible reveals the very nature and the very character of God. I think we all know that, right? Is that okay? Nothing new, right? It's a very simple message this morning. And before we continue, okay, I want to take you through a set of scriptures, which, and I'll give you the idea first before we actually look at it in scripture. But the Word and loving God are inseparable. Let me say that again. The Word of God and loving God are inseparable. And then afterwards, we're going to look at what maybe does it mean to abide in His Word. I mean, we can all say we need to abide in the Word of God, but what does it look like? What does it mean? And what happens as a result when I abide in His Word? And that's something that I got to continue to do work on this, because I want to so abide in His Word and be in Him. Now, how many know, before we continue again, how many know that when you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus comes into our lives? That means I receive the very nature of God inside of me. I'm a new person. How many of you know? Amen. So Christ in me, the hope of glory. Everybody say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So Jesus comes into me, right? He's inside of me. He's living in me. But then you have scriptures like, we are in Him. All right, hopefully I'm not confusing you here. So the first one is, Christ in me. Right? The second is, I am in Christ. Now, is it the same thing or are they two different things? All right? And so what do we mean by Christ in me and I am in Christ, in Him, in Christ, in Him? And to be in Him, I believe, is to abide in Him, as the Word says, in Him, abide in Him. But we're going to read John 15 here for a moment. And I just wanted to highlight first that to abide in His love, and His Word are inseparable. Say it one more time with me. The Word and abiding in His love are inseparable. We're going to read John chapter 15, verse 1 to 17. And I'm going to highlight a few key words there. And then we're going to move on. John chapter 15 is a very famous scripture that talks about abiding in Him. And I think many of you know this whole chapter very well. But we're going to read it nevertheless. It says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bear fruits, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. No, listen to this. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in me, in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Unless we abide in the Word of God, and unless we abide in Him, we can do absolutely nothing. Is that right? Verse 5. I am the vine. This is Jesus saying, I am the vine. Very figurative language here. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, did you see that there? If you abide in me and if my words abide in you, can you see the two there? Hello, I'm talking to you. Yeah. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So commandments and words, can you see that? The word of God, the commandments of God, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have, what? Spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my, everybody, commandment. What is that commandment? That you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things I've heard from my Father I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. I don't know if you could notice here whether you were following from your own Bible or you were following on the screen, but if you were following on the screen, I highlighted in bold a few words. And all the words that are highlighted there, okay, had to do with word and love. Does that make sense? All right, let's look at the keywords there on the next slide. If I were to take a summary of just a few words of what this is saying, of what the whole text was saying, right? Just pick out some of the repeated themes and words. The first word that I would see reoccurring a lot would be what word? Abide. Abide in me, abide in my words. My words abides in you, all right? Number one. Number two, what I speak to you, my words, my commandments, I declare to you, all right? And the next one here is love. If you abide in me, if you obey my commandments, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. So can you see those three ideas reoccurring? Abiding, word, and love. The word and love are inseparable. Are you with me so far? Can you see those three things here, hopefully? I want to read 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 7 now. And we're going to follow the same idea here. It's the very same idea. So if you got it from this one, you'll get it from this one as well. And again, we're just quickly going to take the key words that are coming out. And let's look at this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. It says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen in our eyes. Okay, maybe every time it's bold on the screen, why don't you read it? Because that's the one that I want to highlight, right? Are you ready? One, two, three. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen in our eyes, which we looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and to you that eternal life and that which was with the Father was manifested to us. That we have to you that you also may have with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and to you that God is, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Key words, okay? We've got a blue section here. Everything that we see in blue here is spoken concerning the word. All right, let me verbalize this. What are the things that we saw in that key, in the scriptures that are repeated there and that are key for us to pick out? The first one is that which we have heard from the beginning, which is what? The word, the message, the things that we declare to you, right? Number two, the word of life. It was manifested to us, that word of life. Jesus is the word. Number three, light. If you walk in light, you are the truth. You're not in darkness, light. Okay? Then what? The word truth is another key word that comes there. Truth. Light and truth. Make sense? And the last one here is fellowship. It talks about the fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. And then he talks about, which I believe talks, so he talks about our fellowship is with God and the Son, Jesus Christ. And also our fellowship is with one another. In the same idea of loving God and loving our neighbors ourselves. Can you see the parallels there, hopefully? What am I trying to say and what am I trying to do by putting these verses together? I'm trying to show that abiding has to be with the Word, and when I abide in His love, I am growing in love with God. Let me define a few last things here before we continue. In the book of 1 John, there's a particular line that keeps reoccurring, okay? All right, so, and it's that phrase here, that which you have heard from the beginning. Everybody say, that which you have, we have heard from the beginning. That which you have heard from the beginning. That which you have heard from the beginning. What is that thing that they had heard from the beginning? The word of life. But what is that word of life? Okay, what is that light? What is that truth? Okay, well, can you give me more information, right? Now, if I say word, okay, what's the word of God? Okay, the word of God, there's so many things, right? Okay, well, I believe that the answer is actually given to us in the book of 1 John, but you got to read the rest of the book, obviously. But I'm just going to pick out the answers here and give it out. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. And look at this word. The key word is that which you have heard from the beginning. Everybody say one more time, that which you have heard from the beginning. What did they hear? What was that word that they heard from the beginning? It says in verse 24, therefore let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. See, it says let that abide in you. But what is it? I'd like to know what it is. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and the Father. But I'd like to still know what is that thing that they heard from the beginning. Would you like to? I'd like to know. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, again, he says this. Well, now I think he's going to give us the answer. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning. Oh, okay. So this is the message. Are you ready for the message? What is the message? That we should love one another. So could this be the message that which we have heard from the beginning? In a moment, we'll define why it is that this is the message that they heard from the beginning. But you and I know that we can't love one another unless we have the love of God in us first. How do I know that? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this is the love of God was manifested towards us. God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So can I redefine what is that commandment? What is that thing which they heard from the beginning? The commandment of love. The commandment to love God and the commandment to love one another. Does it make sense? But He says, let that abide in you. Moving on here. So if this is the commandment of love, Matthew 28, verse 34 to 40, and we have been, you know, mentioning this verse a lot, what does it say? Again, we read it, even though we know it. When the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus himself being that, like everybody said, he's the word, he's the life, he's the truth, he's all of that, which he is. What is that command, though, that came from the word in the very beginning? Now, you might say, well, is that the same thing in the Old Testament? Yes, it is. Because he said, I'm not writing to you a new one. It's the same one. It's the greatest one. And in a nutshell, it's the Ten Commandments fulfilled in the law of love. It's a commandment of love. So, I don't know if I've lost you here, but all I'm trying to say here is word and love are inseparable. If I want to grow in love with God, I must grow in love with the word. Now, before I continue though, and I'll do that in the course of continuing, is we need to define, when I say I abide in the word, what does it mean? Because I think sometimes we could be having I wouldn't say faulty, but maybe we have not the best idea, I think. Maybe, and maybe you don't. Maybe you do already know it, and praise the Lord if you do. But here's a thought. Love is the how word and is not the what word. And let me explain what it means, okay? Because it sounds a bit funny, doesn't it? Love is the how word and is not the what word. That means, how must I behave towards you? It's in love. I know it's in love, right? Because we ought to love one another. Do you agree with that? We should love one another. So when I interact with you, when we do things together, it should be out of love, right? But when I say out of love, does it define what it is that I do? Well, I can say I love you, or I'm doing this in love, but what's the definition of what love is? It tells me how, but it doesn't tell me what to do. Now, how do I know what to do? Are you ready? I think it's all there, right? But love does not tell us what to do, but it tells us how, which is to love one another. So where then do we get what? The what? That's the word of God. The word of God spells out what love looks like. The word of God spells out who Jesus is, his nature, his character, how love looks like. Do you understand that so far? So how do I know what love looks like? It is in the very person of who God is. And the very character and nature is found in the Bible, in the scriptures, and who he is and how he does things. Does that make sense? I'm not sure if it makes sense, does it? Make sense? Right? So I know I need to love, but how should I love you? The word of God will tell me. And so God gave the Ten Commandments, which was summed up in this. Love God with all your heart, and love your neighbor with all as yourself. Can you see that? But the word gives me the what to do. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. And Dino shared on this. It says this. Now remember, we're talking about growing in intimacy. And that's my heart's desire right now, is to grow in intimacy with the Lord. It says this in chapter 1, verse 2, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Now, the kiss speaks of what? Intimacy. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? Yeah. The kisses of his mouth speaks of the kisses of his word, which means the word of God. What proceeds out of the mouth of God? Can you tell me? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So this word is not the written word of God. It's the living word. It's the rhema word. It's the spoken word. Does it make sense? So what this verse, I believe, is telling us is if we want to grow in intimacy with God, kiss me with a kiss. I want to be, to grow in this love is to have intimacy with God through his word. Is it making sense? All right. So kiss me with the kisses of his word means touch me with intimacy with your word, with the intimate relationship of your word, with a dynamic relationship with the word of God. Now, next slide here. I've got a few statements here. It says, I cannot grow in intimacy with God apart from his word. I think we can agree with that. Now, this is the part where I want to define. When we say, I want to grow in intimacy with his word, what do we mean? By word, I mean the living word. That is the spoken word. That means the rhema word. That means the living God, the living Jesus, the real person of Jesus. I want to have a dynamic relationship with the word. Because God is living. And if he's living, it must be dynamic. And I believe we're going to learn more about this in the camp. So I'm not going to spend time talking on that subject particularly, on how to receive the rhema word. But I think we're going to get this really good in the camp. So for all of you who've signed up for the camp, I think you'll be tremendously blessed by this. Amen? But what I'm trying to convey this morning is abiding, what does it look like? You see, abiding is more than just reading something. Though reading the Bible is the beginning of abiding in his word. Okay, I'm a bit confusing, right? It's like a paradox. It's like, it's not it, but yet it's it. So I want to get the word of God and I want to grow in intimacy with this word. Now, I've got a few things which I will conclude very shortly. Some practical steps, and I'm just going to declare them, is sometimes when we say, you know, I'm going to abide in the word. Now, remember, what does the word abide means? It means to stay, right? To dwell in it, to remain, all right? To maintain that relationship, to keep at it, to stay with it, to dwell with it, right? Does that make sense so far? So what does it look like? What does this look like? Now, if I take this Bible here, now everybody look at me if you can. If you grab this Bible here and you do this, I'm abiding in the Word of God. I'm staying with this Bible in my arm and I'm abiding in His Word. Is that what it looks like? Is that what abiding in the Word means? And that's another reason why I say we can read the Bible. But reading the Bible is the first step to begin this journey on abiding in His Word. But if I just took that in itself and isolated that and made that equal, I'm abiding in His Word if I'm reading. Yes, you are. I'm not saying you're not. You are. It's just the beginning. Because I think it's more dynamic than that. I think it is more than that. Sometimes, I mean, how many of you, I've seen in my own life, you know, you write a lot of notes. Like if you read your own Bibles, your own devotion, you have a lot of thoughts and you have a lot of inspiration and lots of revelation. You write them down, you may record them and you don't do anything about them. I don't think I'm really abiding in what God has been speaking to me if I don't take that word and do something with it. That's what I'm trying to get at with. So, the other evidence that I'm abiding in His love or in His word is that if I abide in His word, there will be an outward expression of what that looks like. That means if I'm abiding in His word, two things should happen. Number one, I should grow closer to God. And number two, we will grow closer to one another. Does that make sense? Right. I don't know, I just feel like I don't make so much sense this morning. That's why I keep asking, do I make sense? Do I make sense? And that's why I believe, right, there's a question we each need to ask ourselves. I believe that as born-again believers, everybody here believes in Jesus. We all say we love Jesus. And I also say, I need to abide in the Word, I need to abide in the Word, I need to abide in the Word. But the question here is, I'll give you an example here. First John says, if you abide in my word, you will walk in light and you will have fellowship with one another. But if you don't abide in my word, you're not in the light. In fact, you're in darkness. And in fact, you're deceiving yourself. And you won't have any fellowship. All right? So what I'm saying here is that let's look at our own lives. If I, and I don't mean that, you know, sometimes we make mistakes and we're still growing and God is gracious and we're learning along the way. And that's okay. It's a few months, 3 months, maybe you got offended and you had something, you know, in your heart and you just couldn't forgive. I mean, thank God he's gracious. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about 1 year, maybe 2 years, 3 years. You could be offended with someone in the church or your pastors or your leaders or somebody. And this is actively growing. We gotta ask ourselves, am I abiding in the word? Because if I'm abiding in the word, am I abiding in truth? If I'm abiding in truth, I'm walking in light. If I'm walking in light, I'll have fellowship with God and I will have fellowship with one another. But if I can't seem to have myself see, if I only see myself growing too close to God, but something is not right around me horizontally, we got to really ask ourselves, is that the commandment which God asks us to abide in? Are we actually abiding in that? So what does it mean? If I can memorize the Bible, does that mean I'm abiding in it? How many times, I've memorized verses, all right? And initially it was to get me started, you know, memorize a whole book or whatever. You memorize it, but how much effect did it have on me? That's a good question mark. Now, do I mean that it's bad that I memorize it? I think it's better than not doing anything, right? But I'm not saying it's bad and don't do it. I'm neither saying it's a waste of time, but what I am saying is that when you just memorizing doesn't mean I'm abiding in it, doesn't mean I'm staying with it, doesn't mean I'm taking it, doesn't mean I'm dwelling on it, doesn't mean I'm going to keep it, doesn't mean I'm going to walk in it. But to abide is more than just taking something here and physically put it in here or even put it in here. That's what I'm trying to get at here. The fact that I can, you know, say I'm someone who loves the Bible and I can have scripture references, cross-referencing, highlighters, and I love doing that, which I like. I love doing that in the book of Daniel and Revelations. It's very colorful for me in those two books. But if that's all it is, I'm not really abiding in that word, but but my Bible is very colorful. Now, I want to say this to you as well. I think we should have a relationship with the Bible in that, what do I mean by that, is that I read it, I highlight it. I also know that, you know, John 3:16 is on the left-hand side, on this particular side, you know, bottom left, all right? 1 John chapter 1 is on the left-hand side, and it starts down the bottom left here, all right? 1 John chapter 4 is, again, on the left-hand side. I kind of know. Revelation 21 is on this page, second column on the left page. Revelation chapter 2 is on the right-hand side on the first column. So I kind of grow in that because I'm actively in touch with, say, the Bible. Make sense? That's the good beginning. I mean, like, everybody should read the Bible. You should. But I want to take it one step further. I don't think that my relationship is with a book in itself, though it begins like this because I got to grab the book and read the book and highlight it and make notes or whatever. But I do think that the relationship is not with a book. Jesus is not bound in paper and pen. He's not some words on the text. That's not with whom I'm relating with. I am relating with a real person. And when I say that, I mean, that means that word that we are reading becomes the medium for God to speak his word. And when he speaks that word, that's the one we got to abide in. If you want to take the Bible and go one line by line and start praying it, well, you're going to be at it for a long time from Genesis to Revelation and nothing. And I don't think it's wrong. Okay? You want to do that, that's fine. But what I am saying, though, is that when we have a dynamic relationship, what is that word that I want to abide in? Is that word that God is speaking, is dealing with me as I'm reading his scripture? Maybe the pastor said something. Maybe the life group lesson was speaking about something. Maybe some of you talked about, we talked about church commitment. What is God saying about church commitment? What is God saying about the local church and all of these things? And you kind of start to get the sense of what God is dealing with our lives. That's the word that God is speaking to you and me. These thoughts and these words that are constantly resonating as I read the word and as I speak the word, as I pray the word and all these things, I start to get the message of what God is trying to say. I get a sense of what God is saying. And when I get a sense of that, that's the one I need to abide in. I mean, I'd like to abide in the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but I don't know where to start and I don't know when to stop because it's just so much. But I can work with what God is revealing to me and work with it. So if God reveals something to me, this is called the Rhema word or the spoken word, if I am abiding in it, I will walk in it because that word is life, that word is light. So as I walk in it, as I practice the truth, I have fellowship with Him and I have fellowship with one another. But if I don't walk in that particular word, I do not believe that we are abiding in His word. I'm not saying you're going to go to hell, but I'm just saying we are not abiding in that word that God gives to us. So reading in itself is not it, yet it is it because it would begin by that. So, let me do the second last slide and then the practical steps which I think can help us. The word without the spirit leads to legalism. So, I don't wish to just have a relationship with a written word. How many of you know we can read a book and intellectually we can get some good insights? Intellectually, I mean, be honest with yourself. Intellectually, the verses we understand the most, maybe sometimes, it's just intellectual. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. But I'd like it to be one step further than that. I'd like to be sure and know what God is actually saying. But the word without the Holy Spirit, without that dynamic of God revealing to me what is in the heart of God, that would lead me to legalism because all I am is word without the Spirit, and I'm bound to just letters and paper and doctrine, which is restrictive, which is bondage, which is, which has a form of godliness but gives me no life. I say I love Jesus, but I can't even forgive my brother. I can't even talk to him. I can't even look at his face. I think that's not right. I don't think if you're someone who is doing that, you're abiding in the Word. And if you're the opposite of that, which means I have the Spirit, God speaks to me, but I don't have the Bible, I don't read the Bible, I don't have the Logos, I don't have the written word, I don't read it, I don't even know it, it leads me to lawlessness. So it's not either one, it's both. I need word and spirit. Word without spirit, legalism. The spirit without the word will lead me to lawlessness. Everything becomes a doctrine. Everything becomes possible. Then that's also dangerous. So I want to be able to abide His word. That means I want to be able to hear His voice. And when I hear it, I'm going to work on it. If not, I'm walking in darkness and I'm not abiding in this. But what did Jesus say? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, right? Ask me anything, it shall be done for you. And he says, this one thing. In fact, without me, you can do absolutely what? Nothing. And many times, we want to serve God and we want to do what's right before God. We want to have ministry. We want to be able to do all these things. But how about first thinking about, I think I should abide in God's word first. Start with what? Start with what God is dealing with you right in this moment. What is God dealing with our hearts right now? Don't try to look for a word in the Bible. Just the one that God is dealing right now. That's the one you work on. And keep building that and keep building that. So I'm going to give finally here some practical steps. I'm just going to read them. There's 9 of them. Okay, and I'm quite sure everyone kind of knows this anyway, okay? But what I wanted to highlight by saying this is that it's not just one of them and isolating it and saying, I abide in it. I think it involves all of it that makes it, I'm abiding and staying. Everybody say stay. Stay with what God says. Stay with what God says. Right? Okay? So if you say, go and talk to this brother, stay with that word. Stay. That's the nature of the word. God is always redemptive, not condemning. For there's now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I want to read those 9 things. And I would submit to you, I would suggest to you that I would not take one of them, and if I say I read the Bible, that means I'm abiding in the Word. Yes, step one. But let's really see what it means practically. Because I can have all the reading and nothing is changing in my life. I am not abiding in it. So let's look at it. I don't want to take anyone and separate it. I want to take it as a whole and make that as this is what it means. I am staying with it. I'm dwelling in it and I'm not going to let it go. Number one, I think it first begins with the attitude of our hearts. I'm not going to dwell on that. We talked about that the last time. Second of all, read the Word of God. Nothing is going to happen. If I don't read the Word of God, nothing's going to happen. And that means the written word. It means literally the Bible, right? Second, receive the Rhema word. Receive what God is speaking now. Again, I'm not going to talk about how to do that now, but come for the camp. Well, you've already signed up, so you're going to get it. But you know what God is speaking to you. It comes in your heart and appears in your mind. So start to try to discern, what is God saying? What is God saying? Once you know what God is saying, write it down. Write it down. For me personally, I have a Google Doc. I don't know if it makes sense to you, but I've got a document. I keep it on Google Drive. And every time I feel God is saying something, I'll just jot it down. I read it. I keep a record. I date it, and I keep everything that I feel God is speaking to me. I can have access to it anywhere because it's cloud storage. Amen. Hallelujah. For those of you who know what I'm talking about. Number five, observe the word. That means take heed, beware, protect it, and guard it. Take heed, beware, protect. I think the book of Proverbs talks a lot about being attentive. Number six, meditate on the word of God. Think about it. Ask questions. Talk to God about it. Number seven, start to pray the word. And when I say pray the word, I say both spirit and understanding. Every time I feel that God is speaking to me, or if I hear something, if you know Dino or Grace or share something, or pastors will share a word, and I feel that this is really something that I need in my life, I will just immediately, in with my understanding, just say to God and just shoot that as a prayer. And I've learned doing that more and more since we went through the book of Song of Solomon. But beyond that, pray in the Spirit too. Pray in the Spirit and pray in the understanding. Do both. Number eight, speak the word. The word of God must be in our mouth. It shall not depart from our mouth. I mean, learn to be. And I think Daniel gives us a great example in the Bible. The language of prayer becomes the language of prophecy. So I want my language of prayer to be of the Scripture. So when I know God is speaking something about our nation, for example, I strongly feel that, you know, I my prayer will always be, not always be, but very often be along the same line, because I know that this is what God is saying. Healing families, restoration, turning hearts, all of this. And I'm going to keep praying that. So that word remains in my mouth. And if it's something that you're working on as well, like pastors always encourage us, then speak it to ourselves. Humility, love of God, purity, whatever it is, keep speaking it. And the last one I think is so important, because I think it puts everything in perspective, is practice the word, walking it. So if I'm not taking the word and if I'm not walking in it, I'm not sure that we can truly call that abiding. Now, I'm not talking about immaturity where we're still learning. I think all of that can understand that we're all doing that and we stumble and fall a little bit like a baby would. But I'm not talking about that. You know, if we're receiving all these revelation, writing it down, memorizing it, speaking and doing that, but I'm not going to walk in it, I am actually deceiving myself. I want to conclude with a really good analogy that I heard Pastor Machen share. And she said this, prayer and doing the will of God is like your two feet. Okay, let me demonstrate it, because I thought it was fantastic. It was like a revelation to me. So she said, you can pray, but that's just praying. All right? I got to pray and do. Then I'm walking. So if I'm just reading the Bible, so I'll be hopping like a kangaroo on one leg. Is that true? But I actually want to walk. I got to hear it, meditate, pray it, practice the truth. Read, pray, get revelation. Got to practice the truth. Then I'm actually like a human being trying to walk like a real person. But I thought that that was a revelation to me. It's like, wow, that is so true. Don't we need both? I mean, who wants to walk like this? Or if you want to be a clown in a circus, be my guest. But I like to be someone who looks intelligent. So anyway, this is what I wanted to say. This is what I believe the word of the Lord is. To abide in the word of God is so important. And I think is beyond just reading. If we think we're just reading the word and doing that and that's enough, I think we've missed something here. I think it's more than that. And I think if we want to get a complete idea, we got to look at those 9 points as a whole and work with it and stay with it. That means if something happens, I'm not going to quit tomorrow because I know that's His word. It's true. It gives life. Amen? And ultimately, it will grow me 2 things, love for God and love for one another. So if I'm running away from God, if I'm running away from my brothers and sisters, question, am I abiding in His word? Question mark. If I'm being drawn, maybe I am. Just like Song of Solomon, draw me to you and we will run after you. So I'm going to get drawn by God, and together with everybody else, we're going to run after you. Anyway, that's another message. But I just want to pray right now. Thank you, Lord. God, I ask, even for my own self, Lord, I pray. I know your word is truth. I know you are real. I know that you're speaking. I know that you're a real person, and I know that you're dealing with our hearts. And we want to make a commitment that the things that we know you are speaking to us, the word that you have given to us, the very living words that is coming from heaven and touching our hearts, we want to walk in it. We want to stay with it. We want to dwell in it. We want to remain in it. In the mighty name of Jesus, not just to read, not just to meditate, not just to write it down, not just to think about it, not just to pray about it, but Lord, we're going to take everything and with our 2 legs, we're going to pray, read, walk. Pray, read, walk, and practice and begin to take the 2. And Lord God, let the truth of the living God, let the word of God in me become truth. Let the word become flesh in me. So I pray, oh God, today onwards, Lord, we make this commitment, Lord. Let the word become flesh in the inside of me as I hold on to it, as I hold on to it, as I hang in there, as I know that this is the truth and I must practice the truth, Lord. Put this conviction of the Holy Spirit in the inside of each and every one of us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen.